Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Online devotions with YouVersion, there's actually a great link to the Lord's Prayer and dissecting each part. So if you're tech savvy or if you want to know more about it, come and speak with me after the meeting or text us through a message about it. It's a great way to actually dig deeper in our prayer life and know exactly what we're praying and how Jesus has taught us to pray in so many different ways. All right, now I was going to bring an axe to church today, something a bit odd today, but I actually don't own an axe. Does anyone here own an axe? Oh, there's about three or four people maybe. Anyone online have an axe? Anyone used an axe before? Oh, a bit more. Yeah. I think I've only done it probably once or twice today because they're usually quite heavy and awkward and I'm pretty small and muscleless, if that's a word. I don't have very strong arm muscles or leg muscles or anything to be able to chop anything with an axe. I've probably picked it up and maybe dropped it, probably more than I have actually chopped. Yeah, you got to hit it in the right angle, and yeah, that's too technical for me. But about 15, 20 years ago, we had a wood fire. We actually do have a wood fire in our house at the moment, but we also have a gas heater, which is much easier to push the button and than to chop wood. But 15, 20 years ago, the only heating we had in our house was wood fire. And it was in a small little cozy house. And when it got roaring, the temperature in the house was so warm that we'd have to open the windows even when it was like really super cold outside. So it was a massive heater in this small house. But because I'm a bit useless and hopeless at chopping wood, Mark's job was to chop the wood and gather the wood each winter and to stoke the fire and to get the kindling and to make sure it didn't burn out overnight. But has anybody ever, when they've chopped wood, had the axe head fall off? A couple of people? Yes? Yep. I think Mark said he's probably had it a couple of times when he's done it, and sometimes it gets stuck in the wood and you kind of lift the handle up and the thing's still stuck in the wood. Or sometimes you fling it back and sometimes the axe head falls off. Anyone had that where it's actually flung off the end of the handle? Yep, a couple of people. Well, did you know that in Scripture a story like this has happened? Did you ever know that the axe was mentioned even in the Bible? It's a story that I hadn't come across until recently. And it's about an axe head that fell off when it was being used and it actually dropped into water. Has anyone had that happen to them, where an axe head has come off the handle and gone into the bottom and sunk in the water? No. Well, guess what? You're going to read all about it today in our scripture. So we're going to open the scripture to 2 Kings. So in the Old Testament, where there was many kings ruling, some of them were quite nasty kings, naughty kings, bad kings, some occasional good king, but a lot of them were not so good. And we're going to read this story about a man called Elisha. So we're going to turn to chapter 6 and look from verse 1 to 7. So if you've got your Bibles or if you've got your digital devices to look up, we are going to 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 1. And it says, "The company of the prophets said to Elisha, 'Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet.' And he said, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Won't you please come with your servants?' 'I will,' Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. 'Oh no, my lord,' he cried out. 'It was borrowed.' The man of God asked, 'Where did it fall?' When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Anyone heard this story before? I think Mark's the only one with his... Oh, yep, there's a couple here in the room. Yes. A very short, quaint story. Smack bang in between lots of other historical stuff that's going on. But this man, Elisha, he was a prophet. He was a man of God, as he's referred to in this. But this story seems to be without explanation. It just seems to be this short little story of an incident that happened, one that you could almost easily pass over. But to give you a bit of context about this man, Elisha, who was a man of God, a prophet, at this time where there was lots of kings around, God would send people of great integrity and great honour to speak on behalf of him. And so Elisha endeavoured to help people in that time using God as his power, God as his words, and speak to the people about who God was as well. So he was a man of integrity and honour, and he sought to serve all people. So just before this story in chapter 5, we read how Elisha was actually healing someone from leprosy. And the person he was healing was a man named Naaman. And Naaman was a military official. So he wasn't an Israelite. He wasn't part of the promised people of God. He wasn't even a believer in God. He didn't actually believe. But Elisha still chose to heal him. And it speaks so much of who Elisha was. Elisha wasn't just about looking after the people of God. He was about helping and looking after the wider people, anybody that came across his path. And so he was about looking after, you know, real important people like Naaman, who was a military man. But he was also about looking after simple people, like he created a miracle for the widow and multiplied her oil so that she did not go without. And so we see this man of Elisha doing many great things for God, many miracles he's performing, regardless of whether someone's age or gender or their background. Elisha looks after them and does miracles. So he even performed a great miracle where the water in a town was really bad and was making people sick and even dying. And so he purified the water. So he actually benefited the whole town by purifying the water. So this man was a great ambassador for God. He actually showed God's love and care through his actions to all people. So this Elisha is known as a prophet. And sometimes the word prophet gets a bit misunderstood. Sometimes we think it's somebody who tells the future, or someone who is prophesying about something that is going to come. But a biblical prophet is much more than that. A biblical prophet is someone who's been selected by God to represent him and be his spokesperson. So this is important bit about being the spokesperson, because a prophet speaks on behalf of God to tell others what God wants them to hear. And so Elisha's job as a prophet was to be God's mouthpiece, because God worked through people like the prophets. And he would give Elisha the job, and many other prophets there are in the Old Testament. There was many more before and many more after, where God spoke through these prophets and wanted to deliver the message of who God was, and also to tell them what they should be doing. And some of that was, you know, if you don't follow God, this is going to happen. So that's where that idea of that future telling stuff has come in. But most importantly, the prophet's job was to tell people what God wanted them to hear. And so today we're a bit like prophets, because Jesus was the ultimate prophet that God sent. And he definitely spoke about who God was, and he told the people what God wanted them to hear. So he was the ultimate prophet. And today as Christians, we carry Jesus with us. Jesus lives in us. And so we become that ultimate prophet too. We become God's spokesperson to be able to speak into others and tell what God wants them to hear. We are all chosen by God to speak to others what God wants them to tell them. And some Christians, we even talk about it as a spiritual gift, and the gift of prophecy is a spiritual gift as well. And some people, it's like they've got an extra dose of it. We're all called to be God's spokespersons, but some people are gifted extra special with the gift, and that is like their extra power that God has given them specifically for that job. Just like some people are given the gift of service, and some people are given the gift of healing, some people are given the gift of all sorts of things. The gift of prophecy is sometimes something that God has gifted you with to be able to speak on God's behalf, to tell people what God wants to tell them. Back to Elisha. So he learned, so this man Elisha, he was a great man of God, but he learned how to be the prophet and how to be the man of God from another man called Elijah, which is really confusing. Why did they have to have such similar names? I don't know, but it's probably so that we pay extra attention. So this man Elijah, with a J, he was here first, or before. And he took Elisha, with a S-H, sh, sh, so sh comes after J. He learned under Elijah how to be a man of God, how to be a prophet. And so he was like a mentor, so someone who was wiser, someone who was a bit older in their faith, took Elisha under his wing to learn what it was to work for God and to be a prophet. And so Elijah did lots of great miracles as well, but Elisha came after. And so when Elijah went up to heaven, it was Elisha's job to take over. And so he continued the work. And one of the things that they had started, Elijah had started, was it's like a bit of a school. It's referred to in the scripture in that first verse as the company of prophets. You might have had it slightly different in your version, but in this version it talks to them about the company of prophets. So they're basically like students that are learning under a prophet, or learning how it is to be God's spokesperson. So a bit like a Bible school, in a sense. They're students learning how to be God's spokespeople. And so Elisha is starting in this scripture with this company of prophets. And so this group of students are coming to speak to Elisha. And so this group of students has actually grown really big, and they now no longer fit in the place where they've been meeting. And so they come to say, great problem to have, actually. You know, when there's so many of you wanting to learn about God that the place is not big enough, that's a great problem to have. Imagine that here, that this place, there's so many people wanting to come and learn about God that this place would be too small. And we can fit how many people in here, Mark? About 150. Imagine if this was too small, we'd have to get a bigger place. So they've come to Elisha with this issue and saying, look, this place is no longer big enough for us to meet. You know, it's too small. We want to get somewhere bigger. And so these students asked Elisha if they could relocate to the Jordan and build a bigger place to meet. And so we see this in verse 1 and 2 where it says, the company of the prophets said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place for there for us to meet. And I like in this verse 2 where it says, each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place for there for us to meet. They all got involved. They all had a part to play. It was each of them were to get a pole, each of them, and they were building a place for them. Let us build. God has a job for all of us. They all contributed to this building and this extension. Just like we are all involved in the building of God's church and in the growing of it, are we all playing our part? And the Salvation Army, in its very foundations, believes in what's called the priesthood of all believers. Has anyone heard that before, that statement? The priesthood of all believers, yeah. Those that have probably done soldiership classes would have probably heard that mentioned in some of the studies around that. But the priesthood of all believers is not just a Salvation Army thing, it's other churches believe it as well. And it's the idea that we all have equal access to God because he's our high priest, and we become like the priests because we have access to God. We all have equal responsibility to be in ministry as well. And so the Salvation Army have very much from its very beginning put that idea in place that all believers are the priests that need to be the ambassadors of God and go out and have ministry and work in mission in the community. The job is too big for just paid ministry people to do. And the Bible certainly does not indicate that only the paid people are to be doing all the work. We are all called to share the love of Jesus and come alongside people. We are all called to speak the good news to others, and we're all called to be God's spokesperson. So when we think about this idea of being too small to fit, our online ministry that now occurs through the live streaming and the recording of our services is an element of recognizing that a physical place is too small for what the people are wanting. There's many people wanting to learn about God. And so it's a greater place. The online service and recording provides that greater place, that extending of our boundaries to allow more people to meet, just like the company of prophets did. They took physical poles. We're probably taking Wi-Fi and airwaves, thingy-me-bobs, I don't know all the technical terms, but we're extending the boundaries and looking to online as that way of building a bigger meeting place. But how can you be part of the priesthood of all believers? How can you help in growing the meeting place? How can you become a spokesperson for God in your life? So Elisha, in our story today, is a bit like a story about God and who God is. Elisha is like the God substitute. Elisha shows us what God is like through this story. And we see from verse 3 that Elisha says to the group of students to go ahead and start with this building. Start with that. And they ask Elisha to come with them, of which he does go with them, just like God goes with us. We ask God and invite him to be part of what we're doing. And that's really important that we do ask God to be part of what we're doing, particularly if we're wanting to be in mission and in ministry. It's really important to actually ask God to be part of it. Because if we run ahead and don't ask God to be part of it, we're doing it in our own strength. It's so important that we actually ask God to be part of what we are doing. And so this model of these students asking Elisha to come with them is that example to us of inviting God to be part of what we're doing. Elisha also shows us that he is concerned for the ordinary things, that God is, he wants to know about our ordinary things. You know, he wants to be a part of it, but he's also concerned about those ordinary things in our lives. You know, just like constructing a building, God is concerned with the ordinary things, just as Elisha was. And then in verse 5, we read that as one of the men were chopping down a tree, hopefully getting the grain in the right part or whatever, the iron axe head fell off and landed in the water. Of all the things that could go wrong, not only did the axe head fall off, but it landed in the water of all places. I'm wondering why they're chopping a tree down so close to water. That might be a bit dangerous that you might slip into the water yourself. But anyway, so they're chopping down this tree, the axe head falls off and lands into the water. And then the man cries, "Oh no, my lord! It was borrowed. It's not his axe." Have you ever borrowed or lost something that you borrowed? I've had CDs returned without the CDs in the cover. I think that was a bit sneaky because there was a whole stack of them and only one of them that was missing. Have you ever lost or broken something that belonged to someone else? What did you do? Did you replace it? Did you just forget to tell them, forget to give it back? Oh dear. But these people were desperate. They were like, "Oh no, it's borrowed." Now, an axe these days, how much do you reckon an axe would cost? Yeah, about $20 maybe. Yeah, maybe a really good one, maybe a bit more, 30, 40 maybe, for a really decent one. Well, in this day, axes were super expensive. I wouldn't even like to hazard a guess, but it would have been an exorbitant amount of money. Because iron, and this it says in the scripture that it's an iron axe head, iron was really expensive and it was super out of reach for most people. And so an axe would have been something that someone would have had to save a lot of money to buy. And it would have probably only been owned by people who actually used it for a living. It wouldn't have been something like you and I, you know, if we want to chop a couple of bits of wood, we would just have one lying in the shed. This would have been something that they would have had as their livelihood. And so these students have borrowed this axe and they've now broken the head off and it's sunk in the water. Now, for those that have ever been a student, in years gone by or currently a student, you know that students don't have a lot of money. Students are usually pretty poor, and I remember as a student eating mashed potato at least three times a week, one because I couldn't be bothered cooking, but you know, not having a huge amount of cash disposal. But these guys were panicking because they had borrowed this axe. Not only could they not afford to purchase another one to give it back to the owner, but the owner possibly may have even experienced financial disadvantage. He may have even gone bankrupt because this would have been his livelihood. This axe would have probably been the thing that brought him an income because he was probably a woodcutter and he probably chopped trees for a living or chopped wood for a living. And so they're in dire straits and they speak out and say, "Oh no, help." And I think in some scriptures it says, "Alas." I don't think we use that word so much these days, but it's pretty much, "Ah!" What are they going to do? And so they come with their concerns to Elisha. Just as well Elisha went with them, hey? And he was here to hear their cry of despair. So Elisha not only heard their cry, but he performed something amazing right in front of their eyes to retrieve this axe back. And verse 6 says, "The man of God," who's Elisha, "the man of God asked, 'Where did it fall?' And when he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float." Now, I used to be a kindy teacher. And one of the things I taught to four-year-olds is what sinks and what floats. And iron does not float, unless anyone has any scientific proof of something otherwise. I'm pretty sure that iron does not float. Now, when I was researching this, there's, you know, some conjecture. There's people probably have explained away how this happened, that they said it was a particular type of stick. And it was to do with the angle of the trajectory of how Elisha threw it into the water would have hit the axe at the right point and made it flip up. I don't think so. One of them even said that the stick changed the composition of the water to make it thicker and so that the axe would float. And I'm like, what are these people on? Like, seriously? It's a miracle. Like, Elisha was a man of God. And if we believe in a God of miracles, we believe that God created this miracle to bring this axe back. And so we see here how Elisha listened to their cry of despair. We saw that he was with them, and we saw that he created this amazing miracle to help them. This is an image of who God is. God listens to our cry of despair. God is with us, and he intervenes, and he can perform a miracle too. I don't think it was any accident that what Elisha used to get this axe head back. There was no, there's no doubt in my mind that the stick was very symbolic. Because, I mean, he could have, you know, Elisha could have thrown a rock in. Elisha could have thrown anything in. But I think the fact that he chose a stick is symbolic for two reasons. One, he can use what we're already doing. They were already chopping trees down. God can use what we're already doing to bring a miracle. And the second thing is, the stick symbolizes a greater stick that God used. When only a couple of weeks ago we celebrated Easter, where a man died on a greater stick for our redemption, for our restoration. And that great stick brought about our resurrection, our rising, a bit like that axe head. Jesus rose after being on that big stick. And we too know that we will rise. Just as the axe head got broken off the handle, and Elisha brought the axe head back to restore it, when our lives are broken, we can cry out in desperation to God, and Jesus can restore us. Because he has his death on that stick, but he has risen from the dead. Christ restores what has been broken and returns something of value in our lives. Just like when the axe was lost, Elisha found it. When we are lost, God will find us. And we're going to sing this lovely song that's actually called Broken Vessels. And it speaks about, you know, that we're broken. We have broken pieces and we're all scattered. But God puts us together. He mends us and makes us whole. And it has the refrain from that lovely old song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. A bit like that axe head. It got lost, it got broken, but God's grace, God's love puts us back together and he makes us whole and he comes to find us. So if you don't know the words, maybe you want to just sing or just listen. And may this be your prayer, that you know that God has put you back together. That where you feel broken, God can rise you. And maybe God is speaking to you about how to be his mouthpiece. Maybe how to be his prophet, how to be his spokesperson. How you can maybe extend the growing of his kingdom, the growing of his church here in this place, as the company of prophets did. Let this song allow you to connect with God to whatever he has spoken to you today in this service.